While a criminal trial is essentially an open proceeding accessible to the public, the grand jury process that can lead to a trial, or sometimes not, is almost completely shielded from the public view, even after it's complete. But legislation that passed the Assembly last week would lift the veil of secrecy around the grand jury process in cases where the general public was likely already aware that a grand jury had been impaneled, a move heralded in some corners of the criminal justice system, but opposed by the District Attorneys Association of the State of New York. To explain the bill, including why he thinks it's the right thing to do now, we're joined by its Assembly sponsor, Manhattan Democrat Danny O'Donnell, who served as a criminal defense attorney in another life. Welcome back to the show, Assemblyman.
Thank you very much for having me.
So before we get into the specifics of your legislation, can you explain what was the impetus for this bill?
In the murder of Eric Garner, after the grand jury did not charge the officer involved, the officer held a press conference, and he said, "I didn't intend to hurt him, I didn't intend to hurt him, I didn't intend to hurt him," three times. And a light bulb went off in my head, because I am a criminal defense lawyer, that what must have happened is the grand jurors must not have been told that you can indict someone even if they don't intend to harm someone. Almost all crimes require intent, but there are some that do not. And if you don't tell the grand jury what criminally negligent homicide is, then how could they ever consider it? So DAs are elected officials, just like me, and I believe the people who elect them should have the right to know what they or their subordinates told the jury and what the law is and what charges were offered to them. I think that it would improve trust in the criminal justice system and also give the people who elect the DAs the information they need to do so correctly.
Do you think that if this legislation became law, that the potential for disclosure would have a proactive effect as well in shaping the way a district attorney's office approaches certain grand jury proceedings?
I certainly do. I think that if you make a decision to not charge non-intentional crimes when the man is dead, then I think that you are prejudging the facts in a certain kind of way that the public deserves to know.
Is there any benefit to the current system?
Look, the first day in law school, when you go into a criminal law class in New York, they tell you in New York State, a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich. Okay? So that is not a ringing endorsement for the current system. In the debate on the floor the other day, a few former DAs pointed out that if you don't go to a grand jury, you can have a preliminary hearing, which is entirely true. But they hardly ever do them, and preliminary hearings are in the open. And you know, so that information is out in the public. So if the law permits them to do it that way, why is it that the grand jury has to be done with such a veil of secrecy?
If your legislation became law, what would be the process of making these records public? And what would be the threshold for determining whether the general public is, you know, aware that a criminal investigation is ongoing?
Well, first of all, you need to understand that very few grand jury records would be applicable to this law, because there are grand juries right now impaneled all across the state that no one outside the DA knows is happening. So if no one knows it's happening, you can't get them. Okay? So a person, court, goes to court and says, "I want these records." And they have to make a determination that a significant number of members of the general public are aware that there was an impaneled jury, and a significant number of members of the general public are aware of the identity of the subject matter, and there is significant public interest in disclosure. So your average run-of-the-mill felony, that's not going to be true, because they're not going to know. So in those rare cases where the public has great interest in knowing, you have to go to a judge. And you have to ask the judge, "I would like this information released." And the judge can do it, but they can limit the disclosure in whole or in part where they determine there is a reasonable likelihood that such disclosure may lead to discovery of the identity of a witness who is not a public servant, imperil the health or safety of a grand juror who participated in the proceeding, or a witness who appeared before the grand jury. So, you know, that's a pretty easy standard for the DA to make, that they shouldn't release them. But, of course, because you're in a court, a person or an entity can appeal that determination. You know, your newspapers are generally supportive of this, because when there is a case that is notorious and people are talking about it, they would like that information.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking with Assemblyman Danny O'Donnell about his bill increasing transparency around grand jury proceedings. And I guess we kind of touched on this in terms of that proactive effect, but are you concerned at all that this legislation, if it became law, might force district attorneys to instruct grand juries on crimes which might not be supported by evidence but might be part of media narratives?
Well, do I worry about that? No, because I have seen manipulation of grand juries by assistant district attorneys, and that risk exists now. Nothing about this is going to change that risk.
When we talk about the cases that are well known to the public, a lot of these tend to involve officer-involved killings. So do you envision this being used in cases where the defendants aren't necessarily cops or public officials?
Well, that's a requirement of the bill, that somebody's a public servant.
And so why should that be the case, as opposed to, say, maybe somebody who's connected and, should their proceedings as well be made public? Say the DA's brother is potentially being charged. Should those records be public?
That's a different question about conflict of interest that I don't have time to go through. Obviously, there are ethical standards for attorneys and for DAs that need to be kept. The difference between a public servant and an ordinary citizen is we pay their salary. We, the public, pay their salary. Therefore, in these circumstances, these very limited circumstances, we ought to know what they said, and we ought to know what the grand jury was told.
The bill has passed the Assembly a couple of times since 2017, but hasn't moved in the Senate and is still sitting in the Codes Committee right now in the final hours of the legislative session. Do you have any sense of what's holding things up in the Senate?
I have no idea what holds things up in the Senate, ever. So you think you have a bill that has wide support, and then it goes nowhere. And then you have a bill that you think, oh my God, when is this going to ever happen? And boom, it goes. So Senator Bailey is a great guy. I like him a lot. And, you know, there obviously are people who are concerned about the bill, but, you know, I'm not sure that we have the votes in the Senate, because it's not my job to count those votes. But I would hope that they would see the light and see that it's very limited in scope in terms of who would possibly be able to get this information.
And I mentioned at the top of the show that the District Attorneys Association of the State of New York is opposed to this bill. What engagement have you had, if any, with them in the construction of this measure?
Absolutely none. They never talk to me. They routinely oppose my bills. I'm actually friends with a few of them. I've never heard from them. And if you tell me they are opposed to this bill, they did not put out a memo of opposition, because I don't have one.
Yeah, that's correct. I reached out to them sort of proactively, and they had a lot of concerns. But I imagine you feel like it's overblown and that they, for the most part, just want to have the secrecy to protect themselves.
Look, I have private conversations with Tony Jordan, who is a DA in Washington County, who used to be my colleague. I think the world of him, and I think he's a great guy. And if Tony Jordan ever wants to come to my office to privately have a conversation with me about a bill I write, I'd be happy to do that. But I also know, after all these years of doing my work here, that they don't like change. Even for bills like the Rape is Rape bill, which would make it easier for them to get convictions, they opposed it in the beginning because it's change. And so on the debate on the floor the other day, someone used the word sacrosanct. The sanctity of the grand jury. Is what there's something like that. This is a way we did things, and sometimes the way we do things over time become not as useful or not as practical, right? It used to not be that everyone had a camera on their hand to videotape something as it's happening. We do now. And if you're in that circumstance, how do we make the law work so that people have more confidence in it?
So your legislation, as we've discussed, is narrowly focused to public officials. And we recently talked with State Senator Zellner Myrie, who has a bill that would make grand jury proceedings of historical significance public. So we had the conversation. It was in the context of the 50th anniversary of the Attica grand jury proceedings. What do you think of something like that? Obviously, that would be much more delayed in terms of releasing. But is that something that you think is worth considering as well?
Well, I think the reason for the protections is no longer valid 50 years later. I was a child when Attica happened, and I'm 60 years old now. So at some point, the identity of the people involved and the conduct alleged is no longer a threat to anybody. And there are events that, you know, the state or the country want to know about. You know, the assassinations of Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy. I mean, there's a lot of things that if there was information out there by this point should be public.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Danny O'Donnell. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.